So if you go to our website, you'll actually see this directly on our website under the COVID. So at the top, if you click on COVID, and then there's a 6.5 minute video in there of me explaining what this looks like. I'm going to run through that pretty swiftly here and then also compare it to the Michigan and try to bring hopefully a little bit of clarity to what does this all mean. I'm trying to get you guys out of the way on my screen. There we go. I love your faces, but you're in the way. I can't see what I'm looking at. So there's mirroring what the White House has put out in terms of three phases. And then the fourth phase would be new normal operations. And then our state plan put out a 6-phase plan. And so what we did is we put those in line so that you could actually see the comparison. Can you guys see my cursor on here? Is that actually on your screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So under phase one, there's strict social distancing. Phase two is moderate. Three is limited. And then it's a new normal. And currently it's stay at home. And the national said max groups of 10. But if you look down under the Michigan state plan, Michigan Safe Start plan, phases one through three are all technically in phase one. And it actually, phase three says no gatherings at all. I think this will work if I shift over. So now you can see under three and flattening, it says here, no gatherings. So technically for our church, we've been in phase one since March as a church. And we're waiting to move into phase two, which for the national level would say up to 50. Our state hasn't said that big of a number. It actually just says small gatherings, which you see here in phase four. And so we don't know what that's going to look like when our state actually moves into phase two, whether it'll be up to 10 or if it'll be 20 or if there'll be multiple steps within this phase. But we know that it pretty much will mirror up to 50 at the national level. And then anything beyond that kind of moves into phase three. So even though we're using the national three phases just for simplicity's sake, because we didn't want to have to write all these things out over and over and over for six phases, it allows us to have clarity of when we're in a certain phase and then what our responses are as a church. But we're still going to primarily be taking our cues from Michigan, our state government, as well as local authorities in Ann Arbor. And so the Michigan government, they did just roll out a new update this evening or this afternoon, Whitmer put out, and it is allowing some of the northern part of Michigan, the UP, and then the very top of the Lower Peninsula, it moves them into a new space, and it's allowing even restaurants to open up, I think, to 50% capacity. But everything south of that is still closed right now. And so we're still operating in a phase one. Which means everything's online. As soon as we hear that there's like a shift in some kind of small gathering number in our state, that would move us into phase two. And then once we get into phase two, we're still going to do Sundays online, and we're not going to have any New Life Kids on Sunday mornings in person. What we would be doing is still doing the online services that we do for both the 1001 and New Life Kids. And then, but our groups, both home groups and discipleship groups, as well as our high school ministry and Thrive, when we're in phase two, would actually have an ability to meet depending on what those state limitations are. So for example, if Whitmer came out and said, all right, the whole state could have gatherings of 10 people, we would move into phase two, but you would still have to comply with whatever the state rule was. So just because it says 50 at the top, that's kind of a max, that's a national level. The small gatherings, if Whitmer is saying it's 10 people, then we would have to abide by that. If she said you have to wear masks, 10 people in social distance, then we could look at our home group leaders and D group leaders and say, if you're able to meet with 10 people and you're going to wear masks, you're going to social distance, and everyone in the group is comfortable with that, then you guys could have that conversation to see if you're willing and able to do that. And that's where it moves into, the conversations, I think, are going to need a lot of grace. We're going to spend a little more time talking about that in a second. But then whatever those releases are in phase two, like if it starts at 10 and then she bumps it to 20 or 30, we'll continue to just navigate that based on group by group and what people are comfortable with and adhering to whatever the state or local mandates are. When we get to phase three, This is where it just says increased size gatherings is for the state of Michigan. The national says there's no limit. I think in our state, we're going to see multiple waves in phase three, where it may jump to 100 or some percentage of space. And it's only in phase three that we would begin to, for the Sunday service, look at what would it look like to gather online or in person with distancing. And then even in that phase, though, we would still have New Life Kids would remain. At this point, we're not bringing New Life Kids back in phase three. We're thinking more when we get to a new normal. And we're going to be looking at what the public school systems and others that are a lot more, have a lot more resources to navigate and figure that out. So New Life Kids will be one of the last things that comes back for us. So anyway, those are the, that's kind of our response is when we're in phase one, everything's online. When we move into phase two, smaller gatherings, we'll be adhering to whatever the state mandates are. And then having conversations as groups. We get to phase three, we'll talk about Sunday services and what that could look like. And all of you should know too, we're not sharing this broadly with the whole church, but when we do get to a little bit bigger numbers, maybe 30, 40, 50, something in there, we may take our Sunday, our staff team, and actually begin walking through some of the rhythms on a Sunday morning just to get some of the kinks worked out. Like, what would that actually look like with new protocols? That way, when we actually get to phase three, it's not like we're trying these things for the first time. We've actually practiced a couple things ahead of time. So we will keep you all updated on that process. The biggest thing that we want to give space here is once you see all that, you can go to the website, look at it, any questions that you have. And then really, I think a conversation around what does it look like with our groups to actually have conversations, because what we're recognizing is in our church, we have the whole spectrum of people that are thinking, this is crazy. We should have never been at home at all, to the other end that says, I don't know if I'm ready to come back and see people in person until 2025. So that may be exaggerating, but we've seen that spectrum in our church, and sometimes that exists within a single home group or even a discipleship group. So that can be a challenge to navigate when we look at if the state says, hey, you can have 10 people and a D group would fit within that, but maybe two people are like, we're not ready to do that. How do we navigate those conversations? So,
and as we talk about this and share that website and video and answer questions, these are all things that we'd love for you to pass on to your group as well. So that website and the video aren't just a leader resource.
One other question, Jay. I think you had mentioned before you're planning on potentially sending a survey out just to see kind of a pulse. And I didn't know if you wanted to mention that or not.
That's great. Yeah, we are. Our thoughts on this were, one, put out the information as like a plan. Having some kind of plan is more helpful than nothing, especially as other states are opening, other churches are doing things, just so our people can say, here's what a response is. So we put that out, and then a lot of that is like, we're not in those phases yet. We're still in phase one. We're, you know, we're all online. So our next step is a survey, and that's hopefully going to go out either tomorrow or the next day to the whole church. And it's asking just a lot of questions of, what are people's attitudes and feelings and thoughts about coming back in person, whether it's on a Sunday space or a small group setting, trying to get information as well as New Life Kids in those spaces. That way we just have, it's not theoretical or people talking about church. It's actually our people are giving us this input. And we just think we can lead better. Cause if everyone's saying, yeah, you can go back, but our whole church through a survey is saying no one wants to come back, then that seems like a fruitless endeavor.
What other questions do you have about the reopening plan, what Jay shared, or questions about the process?
This is Warren. Maybe just one question about, like, in phase three,
And one of the things we're doing right now is actually having Stevie King and then Chris McCurry working with our facilities, going through and actually mapping out the whole auditorium. How, what is our social distancing capacity number? And I think the first run was just singles, so not accounting families, because you can fit more people in if you have some families, because families can actually sit by each other. So if it was all singles and spread out, I think our number was well under 100 in the auditorium. So that gets at what you're saying, Warren, is if things opened up, but there were some limitations on social distancing or even like a number or a percentage of max capacity, maybe the governor goes that way, as she's doing with restaurants right now. It would come down to finding out what people want to come back to services. And we've heard of churches contemplating an RSVP, you know, where people can sign up for certain Sundays or a rotation. Some have said they're going to try to stagger or do multiple services, have people come to one, people come to the other. We've heard of some churches saying that they're going to go like multiple services, multiple days. We are not leaning that way. One of the challenges for us too is between services, and that churches are going to have to figure out, is with your cleaning and all your protocols. We have cloth chairs, and so that's a challenge in cleaning too, and hard and how to do it. And what the CDC is saying right now is the best thing for cloth chairs is to let them have the amount of time to kill it, which would kind of push against having multiple services. So we don't have a great plan yet in term or a concrete plan. We've just had some ideas around what would it actually look like. And I think some of that will become more clear on what is the state clarification as we approach that. If we think it's going to be still with really strict social distancing, or are things going to be more laxed at that point. And we're open to hearing your opinions and thoughts too, if you happen to see or hear from another church something that you're like, wow, that could work for us, or if you have ideas, we're open to it as well.
Cool. Thanks, Jay.
Yep.
Jay, did you guys talk more about wearing masks, and if you have social distancing, does that mean you also need to wear masks, and would we then have to provide masks for people that don't have or don't come in the door wearing masks? Like,
yeah, I think the whole mask question right now is really contingent on if the state requires it. If the state requires it, then in order to open, you would have to have masks, whether that's in a small group setting or at the church. And the services itself, I think if the state didn't require it, we would probably offer them if people wanted them, but it would probably be more on a, if you want to wear one, you could, and others would know that it's not required. We've even seen studies and reports coming out about concern of just singing songs in place, because even if you adhere to strict social distancing, there's people wondering if you sing, you're actually breathing more forcefully and louder. And does that actually mean that this normal social distancing doesn't apply? So there's not any concrete answers on that yet. I think the best thing is if the governor says to meet, you have to wear them, then that's like the clearest. If the governor says you don't have to wear them, I think we'd still offer them and encourage people who want to wear them. But I don't know that it would be required at that point.
If let's say like the government does require us to wear a mask, and I have my reusable mask in the wash and I forget about that and I go to the service, would that be something like we would offer masks, or would we turn people away?
Yeah, I think that's a factor. If they're required and we're going to kind of adhere to that, then we should have masks to offer. Which again plays into the resourcing, because there's a whole side of, in order to run a service, whatever you need, you got to be able to offer. And then also cleaning supplies afterwards, having everything you need to actually clean thoroughly the way that the CDC describes in order to stay open. Those are lots of protocols that have to get put in place. And so there could be a factor of if you have to have masks, and we actually don't have any to offer, that could be a challenge.
If you're only doing one service, do you have to clean extensively?
I think there's certain things that they would want you, like we would probably want to clean, but then there are, I think, are areas that you could probably just let go because the time and air would take care of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Thinking about multiple services, part of that is, could we accommodate more people on a Sunday if we can only fit less than 100 people in one service? Could we potentially do 200 people if we cleaned between and while everything's already set up?
I think the survey sounds like a great idea, Jay, because I mean, I know even within our small group, there's not necessarily a ton of pressure, so to speak, from families that I can tell who are waiting to break the doors down. There's some, right. There's a few, but there's really not that many. And a lot mm-hmm. are actually pretty content continuing online. So yep. I'll be very curious to see, you know, if you find that being the trend, that we may not have that big of numbers that feel they really need to be at the church service itself. So yep. That'll be really interesting to see.
For sure. There's something that, like, on a gut level, just general sense from all the conversations we've had, it seems like 2/3 of the church or more are not like super eager to get back in person. Like that's not the drive. I had the reflective thought today that I almost wish we would have just named this not the reopening, but just the COVID navigation plan, because the word reopening tends to put that in front of people. And I've actually seen more people anxious about why are we getting back so fast as opposed to wanting to get back. So. Any other questions or thoughts on this?
We're going to talk a little bit later about kind of navigating that physical space or conflict that can occur as you try to accommodate different group members and their preferences for meeting. But before we get to that, we want to know what's been working well for you in your group. What's some innovating you've been doing or a win that you've experienced? And while you're thinking, I'll kick us off. One thing that I was finding really challenging in my discipleship group time was making sure that we still got quality listening prayer in. And so we started group later with the expectation that before you came to group, you did listening prayer in that chunk of time and then came prepared to share. And that worked out way better than trying to do listening prayer on Zoom or hoping that someone fit it in during the week. We just set out that time at the beginning of group, and it was really fruitful for us. So what's been working for you? How are you innovating? What are your wins?
We normally meet every other week, and we've started meeting for a shorter time every week. Just, you don't have as long an attention span on Zoom, at least I don't. And then people need something to do. So, you know, 45 minutes to check in and, you know, pray for each other every week, as opposed to waiting 2 weeks between, has been good for us.
It's a great idea.
That's cool.
On the flip side, we normally meet every week, and I think a lot of us were feeling pretty zoomed out. And so we now meet every other week for about the same time, hour and a half or so. Sometimes longer if we're just hanging out. And but we still stayed connected on the weeks where we don't meet over Zoom. Yesterday, someone just said, hey, you know, here's what I'm going to use sort of my the time that I'm saving from not being at home group. Tonight, we made a friend of ours cookies and we're going to deliver them or something. And then sort of everyone chimed in with what they were going to use some extra time for that evening. And it was pretty encouraging.
That's cool.
And the great thing about both those stories is that you as group leaders are the experts in your group. You are the shepherds who know the flock best. And so the fact that masks knew that everyone needed shorter amounts of time for longer, more weeks, and the dive in home group needed less time is great. Good job looking at who you're caring for and serving them well.
Yeah, our group. Go ahead, Chelsea. To you, go. Girl. You go. No, man, you go.
I was just saying, for the high school, we've been utilizing the breakout rooms, which have been really cool. So we've been doing a lot of creative things with that. And we actually played psychiatrist last night. It's a icebreaker game, but where we were able to send two people out of the room and like figure out what we had in common, and then we brought them back in, and we do all of our small groups that way too. So you, instead of sending out five links or, you know, multiple links, it's just one link, and then I send them to their small groups. So it's been a lot more streamlined. So that's one thing that we've been doing.
Cool.
Great.
If you get all the spouses
Go ahead,
on
Steve.
Different, I was going to say, if you get all the spouses on different phones or devices, you could actually use that for everyone's together, and then you break into men and women, as long as you don't sit like the Salzars or the Swishers or the masks. You'd have to move locations.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion too.
Steve?
Steve Dre. Yep, go ahead, Steve.
You can go ahead, Swisher. You're good. Go ahead, man.
All right.
You always have far more godly things to share than I do anyways.
No, I was just going to say that we've had to, you know, with discipleship group time, like have the guys meet an hour and then the women, so that as kids are still sort of needing attention, that was the only way that worked, versus like trying to both meet at the same time. It was just not feasible for our groups. So that was a best practice of ours. And then we found that people wanted to connect more. And so we've switched from every third week for discipleship group to every other week. So people wanted more time to connect into their life. So
nice.
We are meeting every week. We're not doing anything new. We meet every week to have to pray together, and then continuing reading from John. So
nice.
We have four families in the group, and then we are still meeting for the 90 minutes. We were meeting for 90 minutes before stay home order came, and then we are still continuing it, including kids. So that's kids awesome. kids share their memory verse that they learn all through the week. I mean, like, moms are taking care of it, sometimes dads. So but kids share their memory verse, and we have five kids, and we are giving them time for 10 to 15 minutes that they share and they have fun by the time we get settled in and we read the word of God and then pray together.
Nice. Do you guys use screen sharing for your going through the book of John at all? Like, study the text on the screen together and
not yet. We are using BlueJeans app.
Oh yeah.
And screen share is we have not yet used. So because we read together and then share thoughts from each other. So there's nothing like screen share and then making, unless we have, if somebody has a figure to show about the passage, we are just showing like this.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks, Srikanth. Let's go Stevie G and then Dr. Khan.
Yeah, so we initially started every week, which felt nice for a few weeks. And then we all realized, since we're all not doing anything and not going anywhere and you know, definitely getting zoomed out, I think we experienced burnout pretty quickly, and we moved to every other week. So, and we do our men's and women's groups on the opposing weeks, women on Mondays, men on Tuesdays, which has been good. We've actually had better participation since we've gone to Zoom than we've ever had in our D group settings. So that's super encouraging. I mean, the experience has been mixed. I think there's a mixed sentiment of feeling the lack of being together. For myself, I'm not working still in the office. I mean, I'm going in periodically. I'm working a lot from home. And so I think I may start experimenting with trying to get with people and just do like you know, a walk in the park, and we can social distance and wear a mask or whatever. But maybe for some that are missing that face-to-face, try to get some face-to-face time in a safe, you know, appropriate way. But because I think some in our group are definitely feeling the burnout of not physically being together. But yeah, I mean, we pretty much just do family updates, been trying to piggyback off of the sermon. So Nick had those two questions plus the outline of the lament. So this past weekend, we kind of went through and had each family share, you know, how they apply, you know, the sermon. We've been having very good participation at church even. I think the majority of families are tuning in on Sundays. So again, that's probably a win compared to when we were physically had a building. So it feels like we have higher participation at this point. So those are our wins.
Thanks.
But definitely some burnout and some hurt of not physically being together from some parties for sure. So
my group, we still meet once a week. I think my guys really appreciate that because we're mostly a bunch of introverted engineers. So that's helpful. But once a month before the pandemic, we were hitting up another small group, and we were like doing dinner together and kind of cross-pollinating the guys for that. So what we did this time was we all brought our dinners to like from the kitchen to the wherever we had our computer set up, and we all ate dinner together. So that was pretty cool. And then after the small group time was finished, we decided that we were going to have a Netflix party. And so I think even after we go back to individual small groups for the month, we're still going to try and have a Netflix party after small group is finished to kind of keep that connection going between the two small groups.
That's cool.
Awesome.
For our group, we kind of were debating about what we wanted to do, because since coming to Zoom meetings, we kind of have had fluctuations about who's been able to meet. And so we ended up changing the time because we have a few nurses who work day shifts, so then that kind of shifts it back so they're able to make it after their shift if they do happen to work when we meet. And then we also ended up kind of shortening the time and then making kind of an optional connection time for people who were wanting that. Because I think we have a mix of some people who feel kind of burnt out by Zoom and just don't want to be kind of in like longer meetings. And then there's people like myself and Chandler who enjoy connecting with people and probably won't ever feel burnt out while we have to meet this way. And so we've been trying to figure out kind of the timing of it because we've only done it 1 week so far, but we're hoping that it's a good compromise for everybody in the group. So seems like it'll work well going forward, but we'll see in the next couple weeks.
Nate, what were those conversations like to try and figure out, you know, the dynamic of who wanted to step forward and who wanted to step back?
It was challenging because the people who were like a little less consistent in coming weren't part of the conversation because they weren't there when we planned to have the conversation. So most of it happened over GroupMe, but the people that did respond seemed interested in how the changes we were making and seemed like that was something that would benefit them. So we're excited and we feel like we're, you know, creating a space that is going to benefit them. And now the ball's kind of in their court in terms of whether they're actually going to show up and, you know, be part of it. And if there's anything we can do, we're happy to talk to them and figure out kind of what their needs are.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Thanks. Other wins or innovations that you'd like to bless the rest of the group with?
Screen sharing with the scripture has been good. We changed our group to 1 hour a week every other week. So we still meet every 2 weeks, but we just do an hour. And then our for the home group, and that is like a half hour check-in and then a half hour Bible study. And so we just put the scripture on a screen share, and then we can go through and like highlight and talk about it together. So we read a paragraph at a time. We're just doing the SOAP process. So scripture, observations. And then after we go through the whole passage, we talk about any actions that we feel led to take as a result. And then we close with prayer. And then the other piece is the men and women's times, which we try to do every other week outside of those times. That way, if the men are meeting, the women are with the children. If the women are meeting, the men have the children. So.
For one of my men's discipleship group times, we will spend some time just doing a check-in on how things are going, and those can seem repetitive at times with all of our lives being the same day in, day out. But we've also started to screen share just the kind of disc form of the discipleship pathway on the discipleshippathway.org site, and just spend 5 or so minutes just listening to the Spirit, looking that over, seeing if there's an area that He's getting our God's trying to get our attention in, and worship community or mission. And that's been nice. I feel like what's nice about it is, like, I don't know, it kind of just is a great overview of different Christian practices and biblical values. And they're like various things. I'm like, oh, I wonder kind of how this area is in this guy's life, or I wonder if we should talk about this. But they kind of self-identify and like, oh, well, no, this is something I need to work on and grow in and feel the Spirit kind of, you know, convicting me about. So that's been nice. This past week in one of my other groups, the social groups, it just seemed like the guys just needed to just goof off, honestly, and all of us are older guys. And so we just didn't really talk, you know, that much about spiritual things, but just shared funny stories and things that are going on, kind of bounced off of, you know, one another's comments. And that seemed to be scratching an itch, just to, you know, just to chill and hang out together, kind of like you would, you know, socially, which we just haven't really had a chance to do.
That's great.
Nick, that's a great idea. So you can all see, this is the screen share if you looked at the disc, which I had not thought of that, but that is a brilliant way. And that solves a challenge for me, because I was trying to figure out how do I do that with my group. And I forgot about this, but you get the whole pathway right there.
Mm-hmm. Nick, one thing that you brought up that I think is important is that it can get kind of exhausting to get the same, like, head tilted, how you doing question. So what are questions that people have been asking that have been creating conversation? One that I've been using instead of how are you is, what surprised you this week? People can share something pleasant or unpleasant based on that.
That's a great question, Sarah Marie.
This is Jean. Related to your question, I was going to mention, I didn't know when to cut in, the kids, our kids in our small group have had a separate Zoom time throughout the week, just 1 hour, and then they do a screen share of a video off of Right Now Media, and then they have some questions and they talk about it. So wasn't our idea, it was Sarah Scadding's, and then she has organized based on age. So the oldest down to the youngest get an opportunity to lead that time if they so choose. And so that's what the kids have been up to.
That's awesome.
Have your kids liked it?
Ours personally?
In general, I think the kids seem to be okay. But we have one kid who absolutely hates Zoom with a passion.
Oh.
Another kid that would love to lead every single Zoom call. They're just different, but I don't know. I mean, the Chows are on, the Swazowskis are on. They can speak to how it's gone for their kiddos.
Yeah, I mean, this is Warren. I mean, honestly, I think our kids have really, really enjoyed it. They've liked the opportunity because they see their school friends on Zoom a lot, but I think they really like seeing their church friends, or I guess, you know, life group or home group friends. But I think they also really, they do really enjoy leading it aspect. Just something for them to be in control of, or like kind of feel like they're doing something. with the group. I think they really like that. I was going to mention that. I'm glad you brought that up, Gene, because I was going to mention that too.
One thing we've done, we did a few times early on. We haven't done it in a while, but you know, our kids have a wide range. We're down to, you know, young children to Zeke, who's 18. So we haven't, and plus the high school group, whatnot, is going on during our small group. So we haven't necessarily made an effort to involve our kids in that per se, but I can usually see the teens or some of the younger kids kind of bopping in and observing, you know, what we're doing. But one fun activity we've been able to do with the young kids, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Drawful and some of the other apps you can do, where you can essentially play together a game. And we did that a few times as a group, probably due to do it again, and it seemed to be a lot of fun. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with those ideas, but that's another way to engage kind of families together.
That's cool. I wanted to, if we can, pivot here and ask a question just about the process or when we transition into phase two and potentially have D groups or home groups meeting back in person. Just wondering how you all feel about approaching those conversations with your groups, knowing that there could be very different thoughts about that in your own groups.
I've been thinking about that because we for sure have a couple of people who will not be ready for that. And on the flip side, another family who is already ready for that. And so it's definitely a mix. I'm wondering if maybe we're going to need to continue on Zoom to respect the people who don't want to do it. And then those who do, like, we could have some of us together and some of us on Zoom. And so we're all together in some way, shape, or form, is kind of the only thought I have so far.
A blend.
Yeah, and I don't mind jumping off that just because obviously we share the same home group. And I appreciate you sharing that, Kristen. I've been trying to figure this out in my head as well. And I, for me right now, I'm kind of going through this thought of, again, trying to meet the needs of some families more on an individual basis. So maybe getting together for a bonfire or barbecue, some of the families that are comfortable. It's very clear it's going to be months before we all sit in the same room again. I think months minimum. And so rather than trying to figure out how to do kind of a mixed homogenous thing, which feels clunky at best, unless we try to do a sharing time. I don't know. I'm brainstorming some ideas, but nothing feels clean in my head. I don't know if others have ideas. I'm a little bit thinking about just trying to meet some of the needs individually, but yeah, curious what other people think about this.
Yeah, I feel like I just keep thinking about the challenges and it's hard to see good solutions. Just like challenges with, like, how do you keep kids social distancing? And that just mm-hmm. seems really tough.
Exactly.
What do you do if the host is really uncomfortable with having people over? And a
purely hypothetical situation, Nick.
I'm not talking about you, Warren. We also host a group too, but maybe a little bit about you. What do you do when half the group wants to meet and the other half doesn't? And it's just I think it works well when everyone's online or everyone's in person, but the split is a little challenging because then it's just harder to interact well with some who are on computer and some who are not. So anyway, I'm not offering helpful solutions here.
No, this is great. Yeah. I'm actually writing your questions down because these are things that, I mean, we're thinking about, and this is great.
When you think about having to broach that conversation, though, Nick, you're leading in quite a few different formats. I think you and Em are managing to lead everyone from babies to the elderly right now. You've got a wide swath. How do you feel about bringing that conversation up, or what do you imagine engaging with that will be like for your groups?
Yeah, I think that's I feel like that's the, you know, the name of the game is just trying to have honest and honorable conversations about it, because then you get a chance to really feel that out. We haven't really broached those topics too much with our groups yet. There doesn't seem to be too much of a push to
do that. I mean, we just had the reopening plan shared, so I think there'll be some desire to talk about that soon, obviously. But yeah, I think just asking those questions and pointing out some of those difficulties and seeing if people have creative ideas. I feel like you can work better together as a collective group in your group. Kind of like you said, Sarah Marie, you know, I really like that. You know, you're kind of the expert of your group. Your group is the expert of itself. You know, they do know one another well. So I think talking amongst each other and trying to find solutions could go a really long way.
Yeah. I think that survey will inspire a lot of conversation as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be great to get some level of a survey within your own group. I don't know how well to do that or not. Ours, with it being families, to do a stage where, like, maybe just the D groups would meet in a set, you know, if it's summer and it's outdoor and it could be social distance, then that feels like a connection point of the adults. Like, yeah. So you would use the women to try it out in a social, like, because you can do it better with adults than you could with kids. So I had that idea.
Great idea, Jean.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, for 1 week, just the women. Maybe then the next time you try it, just the men. And again, it'd have to be on a good evening or a night that would work, that is, you know, feasible for everyone's schedule. So I think at that point, if you meet in person, you'd probably have to reassess the time and the when and all those factors again. But anyway, because I don't know, it sounds like a lot of people have shifted their in-person time to Zoom time, and then you might be ready to go back to reassessing the actual time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds, go ahead.
I liked your idea about the group survey thing. Is that something that if we created, you know, like a really short 5-question and we gave it to you guys as leaders, that would serve you to say, hey, we could pass this on to our group? And essentially they're just, it's not for us to get the information. It's you to give as a leader. People will give you their thoughts. Would that actually serve you as leaders to have that as a conversation starter?
Andrew's saying no, but I say yes. I think that we've been, I don't know what he thinks, but we've been kind of like dancing around the topic a little bit. And it's very clear that some people are on one end and others are at the other. And it's really uncomfortable at times. So I think if there was something to like questions that were guided and somehow navigated the awkwardness of that, or like some way to intro it to ask people to be respectful of both sides. So that would be really helpful for me, because I feel like we're floating in and out of, or weaving in and out of that topic, and but it just gets uncomfortable. And then there's usually a kid screaming as well. So if we had something that was structured, I would like that.
It can even communicate, even just by the way the questions are formatted, that it's okay to be at one end of the spectrum or the other, that it's not whatever, you know, a lack of faith or fear or whatnot that's driving, you know, where you're at.
Yeah. So would a form be helpful, or more of a discussion guide, or how to talk about this well?
I think a discussion guide would be helpful.
Yeah, I think that. I think, yeah. I don't think we need a form.
But. Yeah, our group's small enough. I don't know that it would be helpful, but questions would be good.
Cool.
I'll just put out, you know, Steve G, we talked about it the other day. Of, it was just that hitting it straight on, right? I mean, we've been together, I don't know the stage of the at least a year. I mean, we're at the end of the year. We would have been developing relationship, vulnerability, sharing thoughts, to just say, hey, where would you be? And where would you be wanting to get back together or not? Or, you know, if it's three of us of a group are willing to get together in person and others would not, how would that comfort level be? Feeling ostracized or feeling, hey, that's their choice if they're willing to be together, I'm not. I mean, those are sound like you said, there's point blank questions and conversations that would probably, if you had to guess, I bet you'd know, again, that you know, leader of your own group, but having the chance to talk about it, like you said, given that respect, given that trust for people, people are in different spots, and it's tough to know where everyone's coming at. But those that want to get together, we kind of cleared that air of, would it be okay if those that wanted to could and others participate on Zoom call, or if they just didn't, you know, that's some of that same feeling of feeling missing out of, as long as you knew some people are willing to go meet together, maybe you don't necessarily try to tag on as the Zoom call. We just started talking about that. Where would people stand? Just asking people where they stood with it.
Yeah, I just brought it up directly in our group. I first asked permission if it was okay to even pose the question. because it felt a little like some may feel intimidated, so to speak, to speak their mind to the group if they felt like they had a different answer than the rest of the group. And I was surprised. It didn't seem like people felt that way. And it did seem, you know, multiple people commented after they appreciated the open conversation. I'm still wrestling the tension now that I know, okay, we're kind of split half and half, let's say. It just still feels really messy. The idea of trying to do something with part of the group together and then trying to bring in the other part of the group. I don't know. I haven't worked it out in my head yet. Yeah.
Didn't we also talk about how we could do like one meeting all on Zoom and one meeting in person, like switch back and forth so you could kind of do the best of both worlds that way too?
Yeah, it might have been an idea. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't feel like I have anything clean in my mind that feels like great, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't love it either.
At the same time, I think a lot of my group feels like, you know, their needs are being met right now. I do think most feel like their needs are being met.
Well, this is helpful. I've written down all the questions and thoughts that you guys arranged. It was already kind of lining up in my head. I think this is confirmation, creating a discussion guide, some questions, something to offer all of you as leaders that you can even use as a way to engage, kind of guide a group through, and then hopefully lead to a place where you can make decisions that will acknowledge where everyone's at, but find ways forward as groups. I think that seems like it'll serve you well. So we will work on that. That'll probably take us a week or two to nail down. But we'll keep you all posted on that.
And at that point, if someone still doesn't feel comfortable, you can still, you know, just talk with them like outside of the group. Because I was just thinking, if someone doesn't feel comfortable bringing it up, you can even do like a breakout session, you know, offline with that individual. If it's not going to be anonymous, or if it's just going to be point blank. So
I'm willing to wear a virtual camera, or maybe if you get someone in your group a virtual camera and be a surrogate, you can walk around. Have you seen that episode of the
Magic for Humans?
No, it was a TV show. It's the one with the shopping store. What is that show?
Superstore.
Yes. She wears, one of them wears an iPad on her face, and she it's like the stand-in. Anyway, not worth our time.
I was going to say, I think it's Arrested Development also had something like that. Anyway, I think the big thing is just making sure that people are feeling safe in terms of sharing their thoughts, whether they want to do that in a group setting, or they want to say, hey, as a leader, you can, or as a whatever, you can always call me. You can call me afterwards and we can talk just us or whatever. Just to say, hey, we want to make sure everyone's heard. Frankly, I don't personally think that one person should necessarily dictate like, oh, this one family doesn't want to meet, so we're not going to switch over or something. I mean, I think there's some balance there, but I'm speaking about, I mean, honestly, I think my family's probably going to be that family to say we're not going to meet, but I think there's just a balance I don't know, just an openness, right? I mean, I think different groups have different dynamics, but just making sure that people aren't feeling pressured or judged, you know, it's
for sure. Mm-hmm. We will try to write the guide even to that. I put a note. I think there needs to be a preface that probably is just even a script just to be read that kind of addresses where everyone could be in this, and then what's some biblical posture that we can have towards one another. Cause really it's gotta be grace and unity through all this. And I'm right there with you, Warren. I have no idea where my family will meet. We've got 80-year-olds who are definitely vulnerable, fighting cancer in and out of our house. So there's a question of our how much do we actually expose ourselves to in this? Sarah, did you, it sounded like you were about to jump in there.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to suggest to my group for one of our transition points, meeting in a parking lot. This is going to sound sketch, but opening up our trunks and just doing a coffee chat 6 feet apart, but in the back of our trunks. Oh, and it's outside, and then it.
Okay. I thought about something similar, so it's not that sketch.
I like it, and I'd love a photo of it.
Yeah, we'll send you one, but I think my group's desperate for some people time. We're done. but I see where people are coming to. I work at the hospital, and I see not wanting to expose people. And but how cool of a chance for us as a group to be able to facilitate a time where we can be like, hey, this is an opportunity for us to extend grace and mercy to one another. And just realizing that, like, if anything, quarantine has taught me that there is no one right answer. I am a very black and white person, and I'm learning that this is just, you can't, like, people are in different spots in life, and you've got to give grace and mercy to all. And how cool that this could be something that unifies our groups by understanding where people are coming from. So that's all I had to say.
Thanks, Sarah.
That's great.
Let's transition over to Melissa.
So if you were able to join us for our live stream service yesterday, you heard our exciting announcement that VBS 2020 is going online. Now more than ever, our kids and our families are learning and experiencing that we all need to trust Jesus's power to pull us through those unprecedented times. So we are moving VBS online as a collaboration between our three churches to best blend practices of technology with hands-on learning. We've longed for a way to bring faith into the home through our VBS experience for a long time. So we see this as a really unique opportunity that God's opened up an opportunity for. Beginning on June 22nd and each week for the next 5 weeks, we are going to have online VBS. It gives you an opportunity for your whole family to explore Jesus's power and to talk about how you can be trusting him. We've designed it to be spaced out in this way so that it serves families, parents, and kids well. We feel that rather than compressing everything into 5 days, this allows parents who are still trying to navigate that work from home and life balance the freedom to be able to give 1 to 2 hours for their family to experience VBS in a week rather than asking them to give that time every day. And it also allows our kids something to look forward to for 5 total weeks of summer fun. So I know that we're running close to time, so if you are not able to view the video we shared during the live stream yesterday, you can find it on our New Life Kids Facebook page. It explains a little bit of how VBS will work and how you can sign up. We are going to have each video is going to be between 1 and 2 hours long, and we're splitting up the elements that you would have at an in-person VBS so that all those are represented with characters and the people that you would be seeing at our VBS as well. So if you remember Mrs. TK from our superhero bash, she is doing all of our worship and our introductions for the Rocky Railroad worship songs. And we have Pastor Ragosh and Josh Kittleman from St. Paul leading our Bible story time and our skits. I'm covering our Kid Bin Cinema, which is the modern application of each day's VBS lesson to the real world and our real life. And then David from St. Luke is editing and compiling each media element after we shoot them on site safely using appropriate social distancing practices using their online media studio that they have at St. Luke's. So we're really blessed and thankful that God has given us an opportunity to bring this to our families in a unique way. We'd love to ask for your help. First, if you haven't registered your kids, please register. If you've already registered, you are all set. There's no need to change anything else. But because we are online, there's no age limit or attendance cap right now. So you can register your kids, and you can also be using this as a space to invite those around you. This is a great opportunity to brainstorm who you know in your neighborhood, your home groups, your kids' school, your soccer club. Who do you want to bring along into this online space to do VBS virtually with you? Since announcing it last week, we've actually had 13 new families register, and over half of them are not even from one of the three churches involved. They're actually coming from Grace, which is really exciting. So it's amazing seeing how God is using this space to build connection and to continue building the community. If you haven't signed up yet, you can go to the St. Paul website online. You can find that link on our New Life Kids Facebook page or in the bulletin. And we also have a VBS Facebook page, and that's where we're going to be posting each one of these online experiences beginning on June 22nd. Because it is all online, you can invite out-of-town family members even to join you. So I encourage you to be thinking creatively about that, and do hope you'll join us.
Thanks, Melissa, and thank you to your team for how hard you've worked for this whole year prepping and building towards this big event. We're super grateful for how you care for the littlest saints at New Life. Our last two things, three things, are announcement about upcoming Thrive Monthlies. So this Saturday, May 23rd, is a Thrive Monthly morning from 9:30 to 11:30, and Sarah Scatting will be teaching on Zoom. And then in June, Saturday, June 13th will be a Saturday night Thrive, and June 27th will be a morning. So go ahead and write those dates down. Joel and I wanted to thank you all for allowing us to come to your groups over the past month. It has been a joy to get to see you all in your elements, connect with your group members, and just be together. And we are going to do a better job at trying to be in your groups twice a year and connecting with you. And we want you to know that we're always here. Joel's on PTO this week, so if questions come up or we can serve you in some way, I'm your person. And our job is to care for you as you care for others, and it's a joy for us. I'll pray to close this time. If you have any questions and you want to stick around for a couple minutes, we'll leave some space for that. But it's 9:31 and we want to respect your time. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are the God of the big picture and the God of the small details. You're the God of the universe and of parking spaces, and we're grateful that you reign sovereign everywhere in between. We invite you into our groups, into our spaces that you've entrusted us with, and we ask you to lead, we ask you to guide, and we worship you. Thank you for this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
When did you want us to like kind of broach?
That's great.
I know that the Salazars and Grays talked about this in their groups, but if we haven't, were you thinking like at the end of May or this week? Or
having conversations?
Yeah. It's probably going to be a pretty organic thing and an ongoing conversation. So sharing with your group that reopening plan and video are up, and then they're going to get a survey from us in a couple days. I think it'll really bring a lot of it to the forefront on its own. But I don't think we had a formal expectation date that it would be more of an ongoing conversation.
Okay.
Is that Kyle preaching no. through the masks? Wow.
That's weird.
Wow.
That's trippy.
Gene, is that helpful at all? It's kind of a non-specific date.
That's fine.
Yeah, our group just met on Sunday, and so I checked with all them. I don't think anyone had checked out the site or like seen the video, so I just gave them a quick thought of what it is, told them to go check that out, and then said, be thinking about it on your own, because as the state transitions and says we could have small gatherings, that we would begin to talk about what would our group be comfortable with doing in terms of in person. And it was funny just to watch people's responses right out of the gate, you know, in terms of it, but we kind of left it as go engage with that, get some of your own thoughts, and then we'll come back and we'll talk next time. So
okay.
I do think what Steve Gray said, there was thrown out pretty swift too, which was you could always hold your group stuff online, but then do more socialized just to be together. Which if you think about that, even the first time, if you said, okay, we're going to have a home group together, the vast majority of our groups, Srikanth might pull it off. He is a masterful, keep people on track with groups. But the vast majority of groups I know would, if they got together in person after all this, the first group would be nothing but just having fun and being together anyway. So that's what I think people have an itch for, is just to laugh together, be together, and realize we're still human. We're not just screens. And that's that was not a push at you, Srikant. That's total. I'm in awe of how you lead groups.
No, I understand it.
100%.
His mastery with kids is amazing too. Like the 15 minutes and you have them memorizing verses, I'm like, I got work to do.
Yeah. I'm not doing anything. I think God is helping us to. Other group members are also very interested in doing this, like putting kids together. So
it's awesome.
Any other questions? Thanks for staying a couple of minutes over. We know we covered a lot of content today. This recording and resources will be up on the groups page. We'll also send you an email to let you know when it's posted. And we look forward to seeing you in June in a couple of weeks at our next huddle. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.